We want to update you now on the story of Megan Williams. She's a young West Virginia woman who was allegedly kidnapped and tortured last summer by a group of six men and women. She was rescued last September after an anonymous caller alerted authorities. Yesterday, one of the defendants, Karen Burton, pleaded guilty to a hate crime. Megan Williams is black and her assailants were all white. Joining me now to talk about all this is Greg Collard, Director of News and Public Affairs at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. He's in the studio there in Charleston, West Virginia. Welcome. Thanks for speaking with us.
Glad to be here.
Karen Burton is believed to be, at least it's been reported, that this is the first time that a hate crime charge has been pursued in West Virginia. To your knowledge, is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate at all. That was just poor reporting. That's, we checked into that because it just didn't sound right. And sure enough, there have been several hate charges filed in the past in West Virginia.
Okay, well, thanks for clarifying that. What is the basis of the hate crime charge against Karen Burton?
Well, certainly, in the police report, Karen Burton is the one quoted it in as saying that while they're doing all these horrific things to Megan Williams, this is what we do to blank people around here. You could fill in, you know, the N-word, obviously.
The N-word was used. Okay.
Yes.
Now, she's the third person to plead guilty in this case, but the only one to be charged with a hate crime. I'm wondering why that is.
Well, what the Logan County prosecutor says, a hate crime statute is designed to be applied when there's no other charge that takes care of the crime. So, and when something else cannot be applied. In this case, what she said obviously I think played a key role in those charges. But I think they said the kidnapping and the assault charges against the others were going to, you know, are confident they were going to hold up. They weren't quite as sure with a hate crime charge, although, you know, obviously there were some horrific things said in that trailer when all these things allegedly happened.
The other two people who pleaded guilty were charged with kidnapping and assault, and one of those people is Karen Burton's daughter, Alicia. Can you help us understand what was going on there that, you know, members of a family participated in this kind of conduct directed toward another person? I mean, are we getting any closer to understanding why this happened?
I don't think there is any understanding when you're talking about things like this, obviously. And it's not just, that's not the only relation. The two other people charged this crime. Frankie Brewster is the mother of Bobby Brewster, who is also charged in this. So there was, you know, two families involved in this. Frankie Brewster, I could speak more about that family. There's a long history of problems and violence in that family. A lot of these defendants have a history of charges filed against them. But as far as understanding, you know, that relationship, I cannot.
So half of the defendants have pleaded guilty. The other half, I presume, are going to go forward to trial. Any sense of what their defense is going to be?
Not really. I mean, in the last couple months since this happened, you hadn't heard a whole lot about this case. I think there's been a lot of other big news happening in West Virginia. That might be one reason why. But these charges, when the first guilty pleas came down last week, I think it caught everyone by surprise. Though the prosecutor has not been one to come out and update the media on a recurring basis or you know, respond to all questions from the media. Not to say he hasn't been forthcoming, but his strategy has been, hey, when I have charges to file, you, and when there's updates in the case, you will know, but I'm not going to give you a play-by-play of what's going on behind the scenes. So a lot of this has happened has really been a surprise and caught, I think, a lot of reporters by surprise.
How is the community dealing with this case? I mean, the facts were so shocking, and I don't feel a need to go into the detail here because they're very disturbing of the treatment to which this young woman was subjected. But of course, then there was sort of outside scrutiny about whether the case was being taken seriously or not. So how do you feel like people in the community are reacting and recovering, if that's the right word, from this whole experience?
I think they are. I think in some ways it's brought people together. There was a really where this happened on a road called Big Creek a few months ago. There was a march on Big Creek where this trailer is located, and it involved people of whites and African Americans, and it was really kind of a moving experience. I didn't cover that event; one of our other reporters did, but it was really a moving story. And so, in some ways, I think it's brought out a lot of dialogue. And there were a couple other marches in Charleston and by a controversial group, Black Lawyers for Justice.
There was some sense that this was introducing some tension in the community, that there was some feeling, even among some of the African Americans who live there, that they perhaps didn't welcome this involvement. But your feeling is that tension has dissipated, if indeed there was some.
I think that has. I think there was some skepticism of this outside group coming in because of some. It's been determined some groups like the Anti-Defamation League have called Black Lawyers for Justice, who organized the hate crimes march, have called them anti-Semitic in the past, and the Black Ministerial Alliance in Charleston did not support this outside group coming in. But I think some of that tension has lessened, and I think one thing that came about from those marches, everyone agrees that at least that there was some good that came out of them. They were, at least one of those marches was well attended, and a lot of good dialogue came about as a result.
Mm-hmm. Greg, just very briefly, have to ask you, how is Megan Williams doing?
Well, yesterday she was on the Montel Williams show that was taped a couple months ago. I have not seen that episode, but. That was interesting. As far as how she's doing, she is recovering. I have not been in contact with her, so I don't want to talk about something I don't really know. But
she is reemerging. You feel?
Yeah, she is reemerging.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Greg Collard is Director of News and Public Affairs at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. He joined me from WVPB in Charleston, West Virginia. Greg, thanks so much for keeping us up to date.
Thank you.